Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have done something wrong, whether deliberately or by mistake, and have then gone to considerable lengths to conceal the fact. And then, lo and behold, you were nailed, you were found out, you were caught, and you wished then with all your heart two things. The first thing you wish is you hadn't been caught. And then you wish you hadn't done what you did. Remember, your first wish is that you weren't caught. And your second one is, well, I wish I hadn't done it. I would have reversed it. Something always seems to mess up our secret pleasures. Something always seems to happen to us when we do wrong, and it happens to us whether or not we are caught right away or not. Jesus speaks to this situation in today's gospel reading. There we find these words. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done through God. The lesson is clear here, but it bears repeating because we are a people who continually test the truths of God. We continually turn from what we know is right in the hope that somehow it may not be true in the particular case. Walter, my friends, have we come to hate the light of God just a little bit? How often have we come to fear it because we know that it exposes us for what we are? Yesterday evening, around 9 o'clock, the phone rang and I answered it, and I know who was on it. And he said to me that there were some things that he had on his mind, and he had sinned, and he was just overwhelmed. And he wanted to know, without telling me, but he implied, that could it just be not too bad at all? Just a little thing? And then I waited and I said, you know you did it wrong. And he said, well, does it impact? And I said, yes. And then there was a long pause, and then I heard him cry. And he said, I'm crying. I said, I hear you. And he explained further what was going on and everything else. I said, you have to acknowledge what is going on with you, and you have, and that's definitely 75% of the issue. The other 25% is that you let go of the demons who are after you, and that you turn. We talked further. I said, you are clouded and you know that. You need to lift the fog. What I really wanted to say is you're in the darkness, man, and where is it? How are you going to get to the light? But I didn't say that. I knew the sermon today. But God gives these opportunities that I can speak to you about at 9 o'clock last night. After talking and quite concrete to both sides, He said, thank you. I know it's late, but I knew you would answer. And I said, I always answer. How often have we become angry when we have heard the truth about ourselves uttered by another person? He cried. Not angry, but he cried. Anger or crying at the fact that we have been found out and pinned down, as it were, and angry and crying at the messenger who spoke that truth. What one of us has not experienced the anger of those who try to hide from the truth that we knew? When we get wrapped up in evil and in sin, the light or the truth becomes hateful to us. It becomes hateful because it can expose our duplicity, riding the fence, our hardness of heart, our lack of desire to change or be obedient to God. In fact, the light of God, the truth of God, becomes so hateful to some that they would rather hurt others than admit their errors. They would rather kill others than be exposed. They would rather die themselves than try to change. And so it was that the prophets of Israel were rejected by the people, and so it was too that Jesus died, not just for our sins, but also because of them. Each of us, as a Christian, feels the pain of sin. There is a sense in which each one of us hangs on the cross with Jesus and bears the cost of the world's darkness, and there is a sense in which each one of us, as a sinner, as a person who avoids the light out of shame and guilt, helps to drive the nails through our Lord's hands and feet. In some parishes where I have been on Good Friday liturgy, I have placed a board. It's usually a 2x4. And I have nailed into it, piercing the wood, and I have a hammer alongside the board. And at the appropriate time in the liturgy, I invite people that they may take one whack at the nail. There's no music, there's nothing, except when you hear that nail. God still calls us in spite of that nail struck. He calls us to the light of his presence. And thank God for that. For without that love, without that forgiveness, without that call to come to the light, we would all quite rightly be doomed to spend eternity in darkness. And the darkness is very, very dark indeed. What do we think God wants of us that we should cause him all this sadness? God so loved the world, it said. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send Jesus to us to condemn us, but to save us. And although we meant his death for ill, he was raised up on the cross to bring us forgiveness. And when all is said and done, it all boils down to faith and to the reality which faith points, the reality of God, the creator of life, the savior of the lost, and the strength of those who live in hope. The scripture we hear today said, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. I must give you all the clauses. That's why people say, you bunch things together. Well, your rear ends get tired, and I must bunch them together so you'll hear it. I also bunch things together because there is these clauses in our agreement, and you must know them. So sometimes I feel like a lawyer, an advocate for you and also for God. And today I really feel very much like that. Believe and be born again. Come from darkness and enter into the light. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, which means nothing to most people because the Easter eggs are out already. But in this journey of discernment and forgiveness and study and centering, and maybe grounding, we come to the point of sin. In spite of what you do and I do, God still loves us. But if you don't believe, you don't trust, you're condemned. If you believe in everything, we're saved. It's good to get this out, because next week is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and the week after is that week-long journey by palms, by turning over the money changers, by anointing of the oils in front of the bishop and all of the clergy, renewing their ordination vows, by tenebrae, all the lights, and then that last light is hid. And then after that, it comes out, and then there's a gong. And what do the choir do? They run out. It's the beginning of the last 3 days that are holy and vital. Now, Girl Scouts, Sonia, thank you for very much. You and I were noticing that there are not many of them this year. Don't worry. The rabbis and the Christian clergies have said since January, where in the good liturgical term, the hell, where are they? I don't know, but it's consistent. It's happening to you too. Dear Lord, we need a pose, something to withdraw this whatever and get people back.